There are some folks here for the very first time tonight that are very, very dear to Karen and my heart, and I would like to ask them to stand. They're from Painesville Evangelical Free Church in Painesville, Minnesota. Just arrived this morning on the bus from there, and they were from my first church, which we pastored for 11 years. Would you welcome them to San Carlos? We're glad you're here. I hope you have an enjoyable time there at Brenda and Art's for the week. Going to put a roof on the pastor's house over in Empalme, and along with some other projects, and we're excited for them. Is that right, Brenda? Santa Clara, thank you very much. What do you remember about your wedding? Do you remember more about the ceremony? Or do you remember more about the reception? There were two antennas sitting on a roof who met and fell in love with each other and got married. They said the ceremony wasn't very much, but the reception was great. Some of you go home and ponder that and come back and get it. A little girl was at a wedding with her parents, and after the wedding, she asked her mother why the bride changed her mind. And the mother said, "What do you mean that she changed her mind?" "Well, she went down the aisle with one man and came back with another." We're talking tonight about building a strong marriage, and I got to tell you, this is brief, but I believe to the point. And we all need to hear this, whether you're married or not married, because it has not only to do with marriage relationships, but really relationships in all of life, as we've tried to do that all the way through this series. And we're using a variety of passages tonight, and I'm really talking specifically to two groups of people, those who are married, and then a little bit later here I want to talk to those of you who are widowed or widowers. Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is in vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is in vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Peter wrote, "Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, and the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." Paul wrote, "Husbands," in Ephesians 5:25, "love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." And Paul wrote to Titus, "And so train the young women to love their husbands." I think the question for today is, as we bring this marriage and family series to a close, the question we want to answer tonight is, what can my spouse and I do to build a strong marriage relationship? What can Karen and I do with one another to build a strong marriage relationship? I think it's so important that both of you recognize in the relationship of your marriage that first of all, please hear this, first of all, it's a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should surprise none of us. But unfortunately, in this life, it surprises many of us. I'm not sure why, but somehow we creep on through life year after year after year trying to do this marriage relationship thing, and we forget somehow, subtly Satan gets in there and divides the two of us and takes our focus off of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we forget that he's the one who wants to be the center of our marriage relationship. So first of all, the most important ingredient person who needs to be in our marriage relationship needs to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, our commitment to each other as husband and wife. Many people either forget that Or they get it all mixed up, or they neglect it altogether, this thing about having Jesus personally involved in our relationships. Listen to me. Your best defense is not bug spray. Your best defense against the forces that will tear your marriage apart is for both of you to maintain a profound, deep, shared relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and a commitment to obey God's word within your marriage relationship. It's your faithful, obedient walk with the Lord that will keep you from stumbling in your relationship through this life as you walk through it together. Jude 1:24, which is often used for a benediction, but really it's the truth of how you and I as husbands and wives are to walk through life. It says this, "To him, Jesus, who is able to keep you from stumbling." To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, the only God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, and only Jesus Christ, is the one who's able to keep you from stumbling in your marriage. Now I got to stop here, Bob. The heat's on. That's okay. It's bad enough Karen made me wear this tonight. And then Bob goes and turns the heat on me. That's okay, brother. I'm just giving you a bad time. We've been down this road before. He thought he was turning the air conditioning on. Thank you, brother. It's cooler already. Jesus Christ, and only Jesus Christ, is the one that can keep you from stumbling in your marriage. Now, tonight, very briefly, I want to give you four things. Four things that will enable you to not stumble in your relationship. Boy, I couldn't get that out of my mouth again. Four things that will keep you from stumbling in your marriage relationship. Here they are. They're really quick. First one, concentrate on your heart, not your appearance. Concentrate on your heart, not your appearance. Ladies, I noticed something tonight. You concentrated on your appearance. Nothing wrong with that. Don't be deceived. I'm only joking with you. But listen, all the time you took to concentrate on your appearance today to get ready for this night, you better be doubling that with your heart and concentrating on your heart. Concentrate on your heart, not your appearance. Your inner life is far more important than your outer appearance. The writer of Proverbs said it, we just read it a moment ago, when he remarked, "Charm is deceitful," Proverbs 31:30, "and beauty is in vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Peter gave that same principle in that passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. But it applies to us as husbands as well. Peter said, "Your adornment must not be merely external, the braiding of your hair, the wearing of your gold jewelry, or putting on of dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, which is imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very, very precious." God cares about your heart more than he cares about what you look like on the outside. And if you focus on developing your love for Christ first, your inner qualities of godliness will mature and develop, and they will strengthen your marriage relationship. Concentrate on your heart, not your appearance, to keep you from stumbling in this life. Point number one. Here's point number two. Concentrate on who your spouse really is. Who your spouse really is, not your ideal partner that you wish he or she was. Concentrate on who your spouse really is, not your ideal partner. Do you know why it is that many marriages stumble? Why they falter in life? They stumble because the partners in the marriage relationship have never taken the time to really get to know one another. I mean, really buckled down into the relationship and said, I'm going to study this spouse of mine. I'm going to get my degree in this spouse of mine. I'm going to know her likes and her dislikes, his wants, his desires, his needs in life. I'm going to get to know this spouse that I'm married to. Now, your spouse, as wonderful or as he or she seems to be at the altar, was at the altar on that time, is not perfect. But if you cling to an ideal of what your spouse ought to be, you're going to end up hurting your marriage. You will stumble in it. It's important to abandon the idea of a perfect mate in marriage and instead begin learning to understand and love the spouse that God has given you just as he or she is today. That's what Peter meant when he told the husbands, live with your wives with understanding. Concentrate on who your spouse really is, not on your idea of an ideal partner in your marriage relationship. Study your spouse. Get your master's degree in him or her. And when you've got that, then go get your doctorate degree and your PhD in who your spouse is. Study them, study them, study them. Take time to sit down and ask each other the questions you normally don't have conversations about in life. What do you hope? What do you dream about? What do you hope to do in a year or two? What's your idea of a great marriage? What's your idea of a great vacation? Study, study, study your spouse and who they really are. Concentrate on them. Third thing to keep you from stumbling. Concentrate on loving your spouse, not on your compatibility. Concentrate on loving your spouse, not your compatibility. No matter who your spouse is, listen, no matter who your spouse is, you can learn to love each other. Did you get that? You can learn to love each other. There's a philosophy that exists that love is something that just kind of goosey loosely happens. That's not true. It's not the way it is. Paul commanded, husbands, love your wives, Ephesians 5:25. And he wrote to Titus, wives, love your husbands, Titus 2:4. Scripture doesn't even recognize a remote incompatibility possibility in marriage partners. God simply commands both the husband and the wife to come together and to love one another in the marriage relationship that they have given their vows and commitment to. And as you strive to live together in marriage, do it with concentrating on your own heart first, then study your spouse, learn his or her likes or dislikes, ask each other out of the blue questions, then get your degree in one another, focus on loving each other, and fulfill God's command to love each other. And you say, Rich, how in the world do we do all this stuff? I'll tell you how. That's the fourth point. It's the final exhortation through prayer, by praying for one another. Praying for each other. Nothing causes your heart to grow fonder for your spouse than bringing that spouse in prayer constantly before the Lord. Asking God to bless your spouse. Asking God to protect your spouse. Asking God to keep and nurture him or her. Asking God to fill your spouse with a desire for him. Asking God to use you to serve him or her as long as you both shall live. I believe with all my heart that concerted prayer for your spouse will be the fertilizer that nurtures the gift of love in your marriage relationship. Some of us don't know how to love our spouses. I think it requires us getting flat on our faces literally before a holy God and crying out to God, God, fill me with a love, your love for my spouse. And I guarantee you, when you're serious about that, he'll do it. He'll do it. Pray for each other. Paul said in Romans 12:12, be constant in prayer. I can't think of any relationship on the face of the earth where we need to be more constant in prayer than in our marriage relationships concerning our spouses and our relationships with one another. If you'll put these four things into practice in your marriage, you will definitively build a strong marriage that will survive, and you will not stumble along the way. I'll guarantee it, because God is a faithful God. Are you with me? Now I'm going to switch gears for a few minutes, because I want to talk to some very, very special and dear people who are here tonight. And I want to encourage those of you who are widows and widowers here today. My heart's for you. It really is. And my heart is for you because God's heart is for you. You have had the privilege of being in a marriage relationship with your loved one for some of you many, many years. But through death, you've had to say goodbye, and you've had to let go, and you've had to be separated now from your soulmate and your partner and your very lover. The most very, very difficult transition in life, I believe, to make. Listen to me. God's heart is for you tonight. I want you to know that. He promises you as a widow or a widower, he promises to comfort you when you mourn, and to proclaim his favor over you. This is what the Bible says. God promises to execute justice for you when you need justice, because he's your protector. He promises to be a husband to the husbandless and a wife to the wifeless. God promises that he will restore the oil of gladness instead of mourning in your life, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. He will establish you, Scripture says, as oaks of righteousness to the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. God wants you to know that you are so very, very, very precious in his sight. And you are not alone as a widow or a widower. You are not alone. He's closer to you right now than your very next breath. God's compassionate heart is poured out for you in tender love and affection. May I challenge you to take to heart God's promise in Psalm 146, verse 9. The Lord watches over the sojourner. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. God is watching over you, and he's upholding you right now. And his eye is on you as his eye is on the sparrow on the branch. My precious sisters and brothers, rest assured tonight in God's sovereign watch care over your life. He's caring for you. His heart's for you. I believe in this so much that you need to hear this message, that we want to honor you tonight as well, because you are so very, very important, not only to God, but you are important to us here in the body of Christ. And we have a small gift for you today. We're going to give you a rose from the altar here. And we give it to you as a gesture of our love and a reminder of the blessing of your loved one who has passed on. So Karen, if you would come, and Hannah and Christy. You can take some. Would you, if you're here tonight as a widow or widower, Would you just lift up your hand and allow Karen and Hannah to hand you a rose on behalf as a gift from us, as a remembrance of your loved one? Would you just raise up your hand, please? And we'd like to bless you with this gift tonight. Anyone else? One more back there, way in the back. You are so very, very precious. And I want to pray for you right now. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father in heaven, loving and faithful God that you are, we recognize that we need you. We need your comfort and your strength and your help. And we praise you for being the creator of marriage and relationships. And we thank you today for the many years each of these dear ones have had with their spouses, God. Father, please grant them the fullness of joy given us in Jesus Christ, even in the midst of the sorrow of losing someone they have loved. Thank you, God, that although we may be alone physically, we are never alone from you spiritually. We glory in your invitation to come to you when we are weak and burdened, because you've promised to give us rest in you. Lord, we pray for your guidance, your protection, and your help to live this life in a holy and pleasing manner. We thank you for Jesus today, who sacrificed himself on our behalf and paid the penalty for our sin on the cross, so that we may live and walk with you in steadfast peace for all eternity. Lord, would you bless our dear sisters and brothers who sit here today with such fond memories of their spouses. God, reward them with your intimacy tonight and uphold them with your righteousness. Help them to be still before you and wait patiently for you, Lord Jesus, to come. Help them to trust in you in everything and every way. We commit them into your loving care by faith, precious God, because we love them as much as you love them, God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going to sing a song right now, Beck.